95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're doing a little bit better than me, Reed, Chase. It sounds like we all are down a little bad right now. It's that time of year, right? I mean, we're kind of rolling into autumn, and I guess temperatures are slowly dropping, and I don't know. I just feel like everybody's kind of got something, I guess. But obviously, you can hear from my voice. I've got a little, I don't know what you call it. I'm definitely a little down bad. And then just talking to Reed and Chase, sounds like they are too. But I told him, hey, you can't blame it on me. This time you can't catch it over the internet or through my microphone. So it wasn't me. It just sounds like something just kind of going around. But I hope you guys are feeling better than we are right now. But good news is, man, we're here. We're ready to rock and roll. We're going to give you guys an exciting 2 hours, we hope. And definitely going to be talking about this Alabama-Missouri matchup, some other things. We got plenty of time. It's a free-for-all Friday. We're going to hang out, have fun. And I see everybody rolling in the chat. So good to hear from you guys again. Yesterday, we did not go live here. I just did radio, and we had to play a bunch of stuff because, I mean, my voice was just not hardly there. Still isn't. But I said, you know what, man? I know our Miller's Edge folks want us here and doing the show, getting them ready for the game tomorrow. So I said, hey, man, screw it. We're going to knock it out. And so that's what we're doing. And wow, I'm reading Superflash chat. He said, bro, I just got sick listening to you. Hey, listen, man, listen. Hey, I know I sound bad. I'm nasally congested. Hey, I made some gumbo yesterday, right? Hoping that's going to help out big time with the sinuses at least. Lemon honey, been making a lot of lemon honey tea. That's been pretty helpful, but I don't know. Still haven't chewed on any garlic. Like somebody, I can't remember who mentioned that. I heard that one time. I'm still not trying that. But anyway, you guys in the chat, I asked Chase yesterday, you guys in the chat, if you guys have any home remedies, man, to help kind of clear up some congestion. I'm always down to try some, I don't know, some natural at-home stuff. That's always, I don't know, interesting to experiment with, I guess. That being said, obviously we got the game tomorrow. Alabama traveling to Columbia, Missouri. They'll probably take off very soon because it is an early game. Typically, you probably end up leaving a little bit early. So they'll be out of here in not very long, flying over to Columbia and getting ready to rock and roll there. So obviously we're excited about that. We're going to break it down. But a couple other things, a couple other games, right? You got Georgia playing Auburn. I think that's always an interesting game. I don't see Auburn getting the job done, but maybe we can take a look at that a little bit later as well in some of the other games that they do have going on. But there's a couple other things that popped up. I just want to hit in this first segment while we got some time on this free-for-all Friday. I know me and Reed were talking about this. And it kind of fits the narrative, right? And I don't know, maybe you guys know better than I do, because our listeners, I think y'all know by now. If you guys ask me about a recruit, I'm more than happy to look at the tape and give you my thoughts. I'm happy to give you guys, like, if there's like a big commit update or something like that, I'll do that for you guys. But I don't follow recruiting a whole bunch. I just don't, man. It's not because of the new day and age. I just never really have like kept up with the whole bunch. That being said, though, I've been seeing recently they're doing this thing now where like they're putting out posts. I think they're doing it with Yay Alabama, where it's like so and so has shut down his recruiting or his recruitment. I don't know if that's like the new thing, the new wave. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if they signed something like some documentation that officially shuts it down. I don't know. But it looked like one of our guys took it a step further. It wasn't just a post of, you know, shutting down my recruitment. Well, we actually had a guy. He pulled out. I mean, I guess this is about as much of a commitment as you can get. He ended up getting himself a tattoo with the Crimson Tide logo on it. And if that doesn't tell you he's committed to Alabama, I don't know what does. But I guess I should stop myself, because I also know there's a guy that I played with that ended up getting a tattoo of another university, but he ended up coming here, of course, and that was none other than Reuben Foster, which I'm sure you guys already heard that story. But if you hadn't, you know, Reuben was, I believe, did Reuben ever commit to Auburn? I don't remember if he ever committed there, but I know he was going to Auburn High School. He played with Rashawn Evans, but he definitely was, you know, leaning, you know, towards Auburn, Alabama, going back and forth. He ended up getting that Auburn tattoo, and you guys know the rest of the story, right? He obviously ended up playing here, Butkus Award winner, all that stuff, being one of the most dominant players here, but he still's got that Auburn tattoo on his forearm. So I jokingly say, I mean, if you're worried about Sedarius Morgan, you probably don't have too much longer, I guess, with the new tattoo. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up on Twitter here. That way you guys on the stream can see it. But at the same time, Reuben does have an Auburn tattoo, and I guess that's something to consider. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. But it looked like it was a pretty nice tattoo. Reed, what'd you think of it? I mean, because I know you mentioned it, so I'm assuming you saw it, right? It's a little video. I'm trying to pull it up now, right?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's not.
You got any tattoos, Reed? Let me ask you that first.
I do not. I do not now.
Do you want a Bama tattoo?
See, maybe later down the road in life, but I think it looks really good. Not just the fact that it's just the Bama logo, but he kind of fits it in with this, like, the whole intersections thing. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, it's not bad for sure. He's got, okay, so the intersection stuff, I'm assuming that's where he's from, 280, right? You got the Alabama logo here. Dream Chasers, I find that's a common theme. Interstate 20. You got the, I don't know what those things are called. They're like the figures, but they're really expensive. If you guys can see the thing that looks like it's got its hands over its eyes. I don't know what, Chase, you might know that, or maybe Reed, y'all might know better than I do. I just know I've seen people with those, like, they're like figures that you can buy. They're really expensive. Anyway,
yeah, I've seen them, but I have no idea on the name of them.
Yeah, it might be some type of artwork. Not bad, though. I mean, if I'm being completely transparent, I mean, as much money as these guys are getting, I probably could have gone to somebody with a little bit neater work, but hey, man. You know what's funny? That is a common theme. I feel like people with a lot of money, they typically, it's a common theme, they don't spend a whole bunch on their tattoos. Nowadays, I guess it is a little bit different, though, because you do have the new, where the guys go under, like, anesthesia, right? I don't know if you guys have seen those videos, but they go under anesthesia and they go to sleep and just get, like, their whole body done. It's kind of the new wave. Anyway, pretty solid tattoo, though. But anyway, yeah, I guess he's locked in there. That's his way of showing that he's 100% committed. All right, that being said, there's one other thing I wanted to hit real quick that was heartwarming. It's kind of sad, I guess, but at the same time, it's kind of cool to see how much this place means to him. I don't know if you guys noticed, but former defense lineman Jesse Williams was here last weekend for the game. And I know he was in town because he was dealing with some stuff. And I heard just as recently, man, he suffered a heart attack. And he's only 34, man. And if you guys remember, he also had dealt with cancer while he was, I think, with the Seahawks, a matter of fact. And I think that was one of the main reasons he ended up retiring from the NFL. But talk about, you know, a guy just, you know, persevering through so many different, you know, battles in his life. I mean, the article here talks about him being here in 2011 with the tornado, right? And going on and battling cancer while he was, you know, in the NFL, then now a heart attack at age 34. But the reason I brought this up, number one, you know, obviously keep him and his family in y'all's prayers, man. Obviously, he definitely can use it. A great guy, by the way. I mean, a dude, you're talking about a big physical specimen. I mean, he's covered his tattoos from Australia. I mean, you'd probably be scared if you saw him, you know, walking around me, because the dude's, you know, he's a scary dude, right? But he's one of the nicest people you can meet, bro. I mean, he's so down to earth, so damn. But anyway, I wanted to bring this up for that. But also, it was interesting, man. He was not only here just to come back to Tuscaloosa and experience, you know, Tuscaloosa game days, but he actually was reaching out because he has so much trust in, you know, former, you know, training staff member Junior Gilmore, but also Jeff Allen, that he wanted to, you know, take their advice and get them to help him out with some of the health battles that he's dealing with. So I just thought that was really cool, and I wanted to bring that up because obviously, if that doesn't tell you about what was built here, right, like during Coach Saban's time and just like the trust level, I mean, because I can vouch for it. I mean, Jeff Allen, Ginger, Jeremy. I mean, I trust them with anything, right? Just to see that. I mean, he's coming back here from Australia, and he's seeking their advice. I mean, that says something, man. That obviously says something. But also, just wanted to point that out. So if you guys have it, man, say a prayer for him. Obviously, man, Jesse's had a lot going on, and he continues to battle. But there he is, right there, man. Dude's a beast on the field too. He's a dog up front, but. Yeah, man, say a prayer for him if you haven't. That being said, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We'll talk a little bit about this Missouri-Alabama game. We'll go to some videos. I know Greg McElroy did a really nice job with his breakdown talking about this matchup. We'll probably give that a listen. That way we can respond to it. And per usual, Fridays, we will be taking predictions. We'll save that for later if you guys can. I mean, if you got to get out of here and do something, you can drop it. But try to save that for hour number two, because I'll give mine. I'll give my, you know, more, I guess, polished breakdown on everything, even though we broke this game down for 3 days at least. I'll give you guys my final review on that and all that good stuff in a little bit. But first, we'll hear from former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy discuss it, and then we'll respond right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
Free information, call 800-319-3687, 800-319-3687, 800-319-3687.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 77. Clear and very comfortable tonight, the low 56. Tomorrow and Sunday, a good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow is 79, the high Sunday at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. And Justin's got me thinking. I'm like, he's like, you know, you could just go to the doctor. I'm like, what do I mean? I feel like a cold. I don't know. Maybe I'm different, but for something like this, unless I mean, like it was like I just could not move or whatever. I felt like it was always kind of just standard. You know what I mean? Like you could just take over the counter stuff, but I never really. I mean, Reed, I mean, oh, I guess you said you are going to get checked out because you said your throat was bothering you, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. But, yeah, I think all they're really going to do is maybe prescribe something, but it's mainly just like you said during the break, it's mainly just going to be a steroid shot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, like I said, I'm just playing it by ear. Like, normally I don't know, man. I feel like I got a pretty decent immune system, too. I mean, normally I'm good about not really getting sick, but I don't know, man. I guess it just all varies. Anyway, all right, back to what we were talking about. So let's go ahead and hear from former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy again. He did a nice job breaking this Alabama-Missouri game down. Then we're going to listen to this and respond to it. But you're going to hear a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. But Greg always does a nice job on his show. He always has like a lot of good stats and facts. And as a matter of fact, it was from this show that I heard that stat about their edge guys. Remember, I was talking about just watching them on tape. 8 definitely caught my attention. 9's a good player. 8 to me is the better one. 8's got a little bit more juice to him. 9 looks a little stiff, but they both are very active off the edge. Then 7 also stood out. I think McClellan is his name. But anyway, Greg had mentioned on this clip that we're about to listen to that Missouri's edge guys actually have their number 1, number 2 in terms of pressure rate in the conference. So obviously I knew they're, you know, good players off the tape, but to hear that stat, that's a pretty impressive stat. I know they haven't played many people yet, but you still got to be able to get out of the quarterback. That being said, let's go ahead and hear Greg McElroy's breakdown of this Alabama-Missouri matchup for tomorrow. Oh, whoops.
Another top 15 matchup. This one pits number 8 Alabama on the road at number 14 Missouri. This game will be 12 o'clock Eastern time on ABC from 4-0 Field. Alabama holds a 6-2 series lead in delivering the most recent defeat, 34-0 last week. Kalen DeBoer, incredible record overall as a head coach. He's 117-17. Most remarkable, though, against AP top 25 opponents, that's when he's been at his best. And in particular, in ranked versus ranked matchups, ranked versus ranked matchups, he is 13-2. One of those losses was to Tennessee last year. The other was in the national championship game against Michigan when he was the head coach of the Washington Huskies. Eli Drinkwitz on the other side is...
Real quick, I just want to pause that because that is kind of interesting when you think about it. I mean, like, he's right. His record against ranked opponents, I mean, 13-2 is really impressive. And one of those being in the national championship game. So one thing about Coach DeBoer, I mean, you do know, I mean, in those big moments, he shows up. I think the biggest thing that's plagued him was it's the opposite, though. It was the moments that you expect to win, your, you know, double-digit favorites. You don't, you know, you go and you don't show up, which I guess, I don't know. To me, I think it could be a number of things, right? It could be you just obviously play up when the challenge is there. It could be sometimes you accidentally let your guys kind of, I guess, I don't know, get out of that I guess, focus, right? Just because you kind of expect to do certain things. I will say this, though. The way we responded since that Florida State game, maybe it not only did that change, you know, something for his program this year or just, you know, whatever, but even just for him in general, maybe because his approach, I'm not gonna lie, he seems like a different person since week one. So hopefully that's kind of behind us, the whole outside of the ranked games, those issues, but I don't know. Let's go.
Done a great job. Missouri's program is kind of a perennial 500 team. Now, over the last couple of years, they've kind of transformed into a legitimate SEC contender. It broke through in 2023. They went 11-2. They beat Ohio State there in the Cotton Bowl. That was then followed up, which might have been even more impressive because everyone was aware of what Missouri was capable of. They followed up with a strong 10-win campaign last year and included a Music City Bowl win. However, Eli Drinkwitz has not been great up to this point against AP top 25 teams. As a head coach, he's just 7-14. So that's something to keep an eye on. The quarterback matchup, another good one in this game. Ty Simpson, through five games, he's completing over 70%, thrown for nearly 1,500 yards, has just one pick against 13 touchdowns. That one pick came last week in a 4th-and-1 situation. That wasn't a great decision, but at the same time, it kind of served as a punt. It actually pinned Vanderbilt inside their own 10. He threw for 340 and 2 touchdowns in that game. And I think if you look at where things are going for Ty Simpson, the best is yet to come. The guy has been on a steady ascent towards the top of the sport, and there's very few in the country that are playing more confidently than him, especially the last time he went on the road, hostile environment against Georgia. He was incredible. 3 touchdowns in that performance against one of the better defenses in America. Bo Prabula on the other side has been really good for Missouri. Very efficient throwing the football, completing over 75%, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. But what makes him unique is that he's a real dual threat quarterback. His legs are a critical aspect of this Tigers offense. Now, through the first 3 games early in the year, he had rushed for 76 yards and 3 touchdowns. So on every single snap, you had to account for him. Those have come back to earth just a little bit, but his legs are a huge problem, and he can break you down in scrambles. And he can also create misdirection with how they try to run the ball to the outside. Injury report is pretty significant for Alabama. They've been without Quay Rousseau and Jamarian Latham. Those are 2 end of the line of scrimmage players, 2 edge players. They're listed as Wolf linebackers. Those 2 guys are both out in this game. And knowing this is a group that really wants to set the edge in the run game, their absence could potentially be significant. And then for Missouri, they do have a starting guard, Logan Reichert, who is listed as questionable right now with kind of an undisclosed injury. His absence could maybe affect the interior of that offensive line, which will be pivotal for those guys to play well against a quality front for the Crimson Tide. Question number 1, can Missouri's rushing attack create problem for Alabama's defense?
All right, we got to stay on schedule, so we're actually going to take a quick timeout, but we'll continue to listen to this and break this down. Just wanted, before he really starts diving into that, get back on schedule. Again, we are taking phone calls to 205-342-9904. If you guys want to jump in on here, jump in the conversation, give your thoughts on this matchup, give your prediction, all that stuff. Again, we'll definitely dive more into the predictions. Hour number 2 coming up. But without further ado, we'll hit our first time, or excuse me, not first, hit a quick timeout, and then we'll come back, continue with this video from former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9 at 1230 WTBC. We're listening to Greg McElroy on his Always College Football show, and he's discussing his keys and then thoughts in this Alabama-Missouri game. So let's get back to it. He's about to start with his keys. Here's key number one.
Question number one. Can Missouri's rushing attack create problem for Alabama's defense? Definitely the biggest matchup of the game. Missouri's offense is built around trying to create a physical, punishing ground game that does a really good job of forcing the defense to play horizontally. So when you have a run game that forces you to play horizontally, they get you running sideways, and then boom, their running back puts their foot in the ground and gets north and south, and they become very difficult to tackle. As a result, Missouri is averaging 292 rushing yards a game. That's the third best rush offense.
I've seen plenty of power back.
So while we're hitting this quick timeout real quick, that's kind of what I was explaining, Justin. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you run the ball, you can run the ball. And if you watch the South Carolina game, again, I know South Carolina is struggling a little bit right now, but it's still an SEC opponent. And if you just watch their ground game in this game, and not just that, I mean, Ahmad Hardy, even the guy behind him, like those guys' ability against an SEC opponent, breaking off of tackles, I mean, literally just running through guys. And you gotta, even though you acknowledge their strength of schedule being like 109th, that tape to me, I mean, again, South Carolina, not the best team in the SEC right now. They still got good players. And just seeing how these guys matched up. I mean, even like their tight end, right? Missouri's tight end is a really good player. Right? I mean, they've got a good team. So that's just kind of where the respect comes from me. But I also want to see exactly how they do stack up against, you know, the best opponent they've seen this year. But I agree with you there.
Ahmad Hardy's been an absolute force. He's averaging over 7 yards a carry. He's a legitimate All-American contender. He is, without question, a top five running back in the entire country. And this rushing attack, they're going to be going against an Alabama run defense that on paper is pretty vulnerable statistically.
See him just running through guys, stiff arm, bouncing off of tackles, man. I mean, you're talking about us through, what, five games as far, right? We've been much better than we were in the first game, but still, I mean, there's still been some signs that we're not perfect defensively when it comes to stopping the run. To me, that's definitely something to take into consideration, right? I mean, this is even like, you know, I went back and was watching some Vanderbilt, and even though, like, yeah, we definitely did a much, like, three quarters we were dominant, and you definitely got to, you know, tip your hat to, you know, the defense, Kane Womack, all those guys, all the effort, but this is just a little bit different of a challenge, you know what I mean? Like, their style of running the football is different than what Vanderbilt did, and I think they've got better guys doing it, and so it's going to be interesting to see how that carries over into this game for us.
They're allowing just under 5 yards per carry. That's 104th. Part of the problem for Alabama's rush defense has been inconsistencies in run support from their defensive backs. So a big part of this game will be Alabama's safeties making sure their eyes are in a really good spot. So when Missouri hands the ball off, those guys plug gaps accordingly and get the necessary stops without allowing a lot of yards after contact. They also need to do a great job tackling in this game too, because Missouri is a very difficult team to bring down in the open field. So we just mentioned how the secondary needs to be really good in run support, right? Well, that leads us to question number two. If Alabama's secondary is super committed to stopping the run, can Missouri's wide receivers win those perimeter matchups? So Kevin Coleman is their go-to guy. He's mostly a catch and run guy, really good. You give him the ball, he does special things with it. He's got 39 catches for 386 yards, just one touchdown, but he's really, really good. The guy to watch in this game is probably Marquise Johnson. He's the big play threat. So off play action, those safeties get nosy. Marquise Johnson's the guy you got to keep an eye on. He's the downfield threat with tremendous speed that could be a problem in creating chunk yardage through the air. They also have one of the better tight ends in the SEC with Brett Norfleet as well. So this is a really good passing attack with an efficient quarterback and a passing game that does a great job of marrying up what they do in the run game. So it'd be very important for Alabama's secondary to be sticky in coverage and not allow those guys to get behind the defense. Question number three, can Alabama's receivers continue to create problems against Missouri's secondary? Now, you look at Missouri's stats, their profile defensively, really impressive. But they have been compiled against a slate of opponents that don't have anywhere near the firepower that Alabama has on the outside. Look at the secondary, they're allowing right now about 100 passing yards a game. This will be the first really big test of the season. I think Kansas is a capable unit for sure, but Alabama's passing game is really multifaceted. They also have explosiveness, and they have a lot of variety with the personnel that they have. Their wide receiver, Jeremy Bernard, he is a guy that can do so many things with the ball. You can hand it to him. You can throw it to him short. You can throw it to him deep. You can throw it to him on the underneath. You can get him in catch and run situations. He's got 5 touchdowns. But this is a really good group kind of across the board. Ryan Williams, he has been plagued by a few drops, but he's a playmaker and remains a threat on every single offensive snap. His ability to separate is unique, and he always can create big plays in a moment's notice. You also have the length that you have to account for with Isaiah Horton, who's at 6'3" and change, 6'4". He's a big body on the outside that could become a problem on third down and in the red zone. And don't sleep on tight end Josh Cuevas, who seems to be getting better and better and better as the season goes along. Very reliable piece there as kind of the H-move tight end for Alabama. Question number four, is Missouri for real? Like that's the big question. Like, I watch this team and I am super bullish on what I've seen from Missouri up to this point. Man, they look great. I think they look really good running the football. I think they are tenacious on the defensive side. I think they do a really good job of knowing who they are on the defensive side. They stay very committed to what they are offensively. This is a well-coached football team with really good personnel. And the numbers completely support this team being elite, especially on third down. But you also have to take into account, who have they played up to this point? That's a real question. But if you look at the numbers, let's just start with the numbers specifically. Remove the level of competition. They're averaging over 45 points a game, that's 7th. 550 yards a game, that's 4th. 300 rushing yards a game, nearly, that's 3rd. And they convert nearly 62% of their third downs. It's number 1 in college football. That's on offense. Well, what about defense? Right now, they're 2nd in total defense. They're number 1 in rush defense. They're number 3 in third down conversions allowed. But here's the problem. They've played the 109th ranked strength of schedule. So are these numbers very much legit or are they inflated? There's really no way of knowing right now. And I think you could even ask Eli Drinkwitz, or you could ask someone else that has played against Missouri, and I'm sure they're tipping their cap to just how good this team is, but none of us really know. Meanwhile, Alabama on the other side has played against Florida State. They've gone to Georgia, and they've beaten a really good 5-1 Vanderbilt team that's currently ranked in the top 25. I'm taking Alabama, and it's because they're battle-tested. I would, however, take the points here. This number is around 3.5 or so, 3 in some places, 4 in some places. Probably take the points. I think it's going to be a very close one there in Como. This might be Alabama's toughest test of the entire season, especially when you take into account the two teams they've faced the last 2 weeks and going on the road to Georgia, coming back and playing against a quality Vanderbilt team at home, and now having to go on the road again against a top 15 outfit in the Missouri Tigers. I'll take the Tide, but I think it'll be close.
All right, so you have it. You got Greg McElroy taking Alabama. He said he wouldn't do the points, though, which means, I mean, he thinks it's really going to be down to the wire. At least that's how I read that. Again, I'm not an expert when it comes to betting. That being said, I mean, I pretty much agree with them when it comes to all those questions like you mentioned. I mean, obviously, everybody knows, first and foremost, when you look at this matchup, stopping the run, you got to be able to stop the run. He hit all the numbers. I mean, almost 300 yards on the ground, averaging that. I don't care who you're playing. I mean, you obviously can run the football. And then you watch the tape, you understand why they're able to do it so well. Number two, he mentioned it. I mean, people don't talk about it as much, but their quarterback's playing some solid football. He's efficient. Now, I will say, and he didn't mention this, but they've shown the ability of putting the ball on the ground, right? Both with fumbles and, you know, a couple of interceptions, three interceptions by their quarterback. So I do think there will be some opportunities for our defense, especially the way that we play, to be able to capitalize on that in this game, especially if you can kind of get – if you can find a way to stop the run and make them throw the football, right, I definitely think that puts them in a position kind of like how you saw Vanderbilt last week. To me, I felt like what helped us out so much was that when we stopped the run against Vanderbilt, it got them all out of sorts. And even though they have been throwing the football a lot better recently, they still don't want to only be one-dimensional and only do that. You could just tell it threw them off their game. And I think if you could do that in this matchup – you have a real good chance of having success, because even though they're very efficient offensively, really around the board, they're great running the football, then pretty damn solid as well throwing it. I think taking that running game away from them would kind of have them in, you know, a situation where they're just kind of out of sorts. And then on the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about that coming back. But obviously, the pass rush, the guys up front, that's going to be Missouri's, I guess, saving grace in this game. I'm not saying their secondary can't do good things. I mean, they're aggressive. They'll throw a lot at you. They'll bring pressure. They'll mix and match some of their coverages. They'll disguise. They do a lot of good stuff, but I really think the key for them is getting pressure on Ty Simpson, right? And the good news is our offense line has been playing well. Ty's been getting the ball out quick, but I think this probably will be the best front we've seen this year, even better than what Georgia's got right now, honestly, with their guys up front. So will be an interesting challenge, but we got plenty of time. We'll talk more about it here in a minute. But first, we got to take a time out right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got Smitty on the phone lines. We'll hear from him when we come back, too. We'll keep on rolling right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do SEC Parlay Picks presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll also catch up with Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We'll talk to Brent Beard as we are now closer to the Alabama-Missouri game. We'll take your analysis right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in
Mazda lineup, offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Free Irish Pub, often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are shaping
Floors to Go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 77. Clear and very comfortable tonight, the low 56. Tomorrow and Sunday, a good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow is 79, the high Sunday at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Hey, welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 Free TVC, presented by the Goodfeet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We just heard from Greg McElroy on Always College Football. He gave his questions and keys and his prediction. He's going Alabama, but in a really close one, because he said he would, whatever the way he worded with the points thing, basically saying, yeah, it sounds like, let me get this straight, Reed. If I heard this right, that meant like he takes Bama to win, but if he said he's not taking the points, doesn't that mean like he feels like it's going to be less than a 3-point game? That's how I heard that.
That's what he's saying. So if they say whoever's going to win is, I mean, that's just pretty straightforward. But then if he says he's got the points, then that just means whatever the line set, it's going to be.
We cover.
Yeah.
But he said he's not taking us to cover. So that's like he's thinking we win by 1, 2, or 3.
Yes,
at the moment.
Yeah. But if he said, yeah, so if he said we don't cover, then yeah, we win by 1, 2, you know. But if he said we do, then we win by the like 4 and above, you know.
Yeah. And I had it right. I just always want to make sure, because like I said, I'm still getting into the whole lines and betting stuff. I'm still figuring everything out again. Couldn't do it as a player. Had no experience with it, so it's all new. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 253-429-904. We got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Christian, how's it going?
It's going, brother. How are you, man?
Good. Looking for you on YouTube yesterday. I'm like, my guy went on load management like Kawhi Leonard, man.
Come on. No, it ain't low management. Y'all probably can't stand my voice right now. I was like, bro, number one, I don't know if I can talk 2 hours. And then two, I'm like, they don't want to hear this nasally damn voice for 2 straight hours. Yeah. But we're back, brother. I was like, I had to come through. I was like, it's a Friday, man. I got to make it happen.
Yeah, because Kawhi wouldn't have shown up either. So that's what I'm saying. So, but
that's funny.
About this game, though, I think what happens is it's like the national media, a lot of times you can't listen to them because a lot of them can't get Florida State out of their heads for some reason. And God forbid a college football team improves after week one. It seems like only college football where you can't improve. I think Missouri's a good team. We still don't know a lot about them because we haven't seen them against anyone who could realistically push back, because we know South Carolina ain't live up to the expectations. It's one thing when you don't have the expectations, and then when you have expectations and you didn't have the same squad as you did before, the year before, if you get what I'm saying. I think with this team, I know they got a good front. I think some of these guys up front, the light has switched on Caden Proctor. I think Michael Carroll is really locking that down at the right side. And the way they run the offense of Alabama, it's about getting the ball out quick, knowing where to go with the football. Now, he needs to not do like Vanderbilt and hold the ball too long. Sometimes you just got to let it go. And I think with the run game, you got to do like you did against Georgia. Just keep running, because Jam's a good player. I don't know how dynamic he is, but he does so well with pass blocking, doing what he needs to do, being a great safety valve. But you just got to keep running and make that front think about it. Because if you don't make them think about it, they just pin their ears back.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's why the running game is so important. That's why I was preaching it so heavy that you're right, man. When you become one-dimensional, everybody kind of knows what to expect. The secondary guys, they're not really having to bite on anything, right? They're able to, you know, sit back and play softer and take away some of those deep threats. The guys up front, they're not as concerned about setting an edge. They're trying to get off the football with their best get-off, and it's giving them a much better chance of beating that tackle than before. But you're right. But the good news is, man, look, 136 on the ground for Jam last week was big. Mm-hmm. I just want to see how we look this week, because again, I think this is probably going to be the best front we've seen this year. And I'm not saying we can't have that same success. I'm just curious to see how we match up. And if we do go out there, I'll say this to me, if we go out tomorrow and we handle business and then we're able to run the football and we're doing all the things that we've been doing, that will tell me, I know I said, okay, the Georgia game will kind of give me that, I guess that test, like litmus test. But this to me, I'm like, if you go on the road against this Missouri team with the good front, we're able to run the ball, like I'm going to say, all right, I'm buying into it, but I'm still kind of I'm just telling people because I feel like there's some people are kind of jumping the gun. I'm like, man, we're going to face some better teams. There's going to be some more matchups, and there's going to be some times where we might not be hitting. How do we respond when things aren't there? So I'm still waiting for a couple more things. But no, I think you're right, man. I'm feeling good about this game, but I do think there's going to be some challenges that come up.
Yeah, and I'll say this, like everybody talking about Alabama faces type of attack. I think the problem is not even the front. it's the secondary guys not run fitting. Because when you give up gas runs like that, someone on the back end ain't doing their job. And what happens with this offense we have, I don't think they've seen an offense with this many weapons. Well, you can't even double a receiver on the squad right now. And then you got a running back who's a good safety valve. We have a good tight end in Quavis and Danny Lewis. I think he really going to help that run game out. And I think what happens is Ryan Grubb always says there's a difference between someone calling plays and someone running an offense. And he runs an offense because he has way more experience. And I think that what fans – I think fans and players look at these games different. I don't hear too many players get mad they don't blow anybody out. They celebrate – correct me if I'm wrong here. You guys celebrate the win with the 1 point of 21, right?
Oh, absolutely. That was Coach Saban's fault. I mean, look, a win is a win. Now, I will be yeah, honest right. Now, come Sunday/Monday, he would pull the truth out on us. But, hey, after a win, he didn't care if – no, we won by 1 point. It didn't matter. Yeah, win is a win, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think fans got to get that. Cause today's college football is totally different. You don't have those three deep. You don't have Quinnen Williams waiting behind Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne anymore. You got more young freshmen playing. And I think, and I'm gonna ask you this question. I'm going to take it off here. I noticed a lot of these commits shut it down over the weekend. Do you think, like with some of these schools, are really saying we're going to play if you play hard in practice, you practice good, you're going to get in the game? And not just mop-up duty. I'm wondering how much of the impact that is on players, you know, who's looking at schools like Alabama, Ohio State. And I take it off the air.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you, Smith. You have a great weekend, bro. I'll go ahead and answer that real quick. But, yeah, I would say, look, man, I think all the playing time you see these freshmen getting, I think that definitely stands out to these recruits. Obviously, they want to come here and play at Alabama, but there used to be that thing lingering where, oh, well, you're not going to play as a freshman. Well, now it's like the complete opposite. Now, I'd argue you have more of a chance playing here than some other places, right, just the way they do things. Then, too, the whole shutting recruitment thing, now, I'm still trying to figure out kind of where that's coming from. Because, I mean, I've seen, like Yay Alabama posted. So I'm wondering if, like, there's like an NIL deal in place that does that. I don't know, but it is interesting. But appreciate the phone call, man. Good stuff as always. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll continue breaking this game down, talking with you guys, 205-342-9904, and more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 411. That's 411. The code again is 411.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Week 6 of the NFL kicked off with the Giants defeating the Eagles, and it all started like this.
Dart in shotgun set. Drops back to throw, escapes. Now he's going to run with it. Cuts at the 15. He's to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Jackson Dart! Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo! 20-yard touchdown run!
You just heard it on the Giants radio network. Dart also threw for 195 yards and a touchdown to go along with that rushing touchdown as New York defeated Philadelphia 34-17. In baseball, the Dodgers survived 2-1 on an error from Phillies pitcher Ryan Kirkering in the 11th inning to advance to the championship series. The Cubs shut out the Brewers 6-0 in the NLDS to force a Game 5 on Saturday in Milwaukee, and the winner will face the Dodgers next. Loyola University Chicago has announced that Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt has passed away at the age of 106.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches
as
athletic trainers and mentors who are shaping the next generation of legends. We are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We've been listening to some other folks breaking some stuff down, and we're about to do that again. This time I want to go is Josh Payton and Cole Kubrick. I think there's only like probably 3 or 4 minutes, so it won't be long, but they were discussing this matchup, and I want to go to that real quick, but just give me 2 seconds while I get it potted up. But I will say this, though, just watching that tape right there. Again, we got it pulled up on the stream if you guys haven't already. Check us out on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. You guys can watch us do the show live completely free. Again, we just ask you just drop us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Also, I need to tell you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, because, again, I told you about it when we spoke with Jonathan of the Good Feet Store this Wednesday. But remember, Good Feet kicksforcash.com is where you sign up for that. So again, goodfeetkickforcash.com is where you go sign up to get entered in that. Remember, it's literally kicking field goals to win money, right? Everybody wants free money. So go ahead and do it. Signing up's free. How it works, you got a 20-yard field goal. You start there. If you make it, you'll get a chance at the 30-yarder. If you make that 30-yarder, you'll win the 1,001. If you don't, you still make the $500 from the 20-yard one. And if you don't make any field goals at all, you still will get a store prize pack from the Good Feet Store. But again, I'll share it real quick. This is a website right here, goodfeetkickforcash.com. And again, they're doing it at the home games here, but you got to sign up here first. So make sure you guys do that. So you got it for the Tennessee game coming up next week and also for LSU as well. So check that out if you haven't already. And if you're just looking for something to help you out with all that pain you might be dealing with, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, go ahead and check out the Good Feet Store, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa, or your nearest location will be shown to you if you go to the website, regular website, goodfeet.com, and type in your zip code, all that good stuff. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. We got some other games we'll dive into, but I want to continue talking about this Alabama-Missouri one while we got it pulled up. But remember, you still got the Red River shootout, right? I know some people say showdown, shootout. That's definitely going to be an interesting game. John Mateer allegedly will be back from his hand surgery, so will be interesting to see if Texas can, in fact, get back on track. They just suffered a loss in the Swamp to Florida. They've got 2 on the year already after falling to Ohio State to kick things off. A lot of people a little concerned with Sarkisian, Arch Manning. That group is just not looking like what a lot of people thought. And I'd argue they might be able to survive one more loss, but it's not a guarantee. And they're going against a rival and a good football team, Oklahoma. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's keep on with the theme of Alabama-Missouri. Here is Josh Payton, Cole Kublik giving them their thoughts.
Which one?
Oh, Missouri. We were there last year.
We went up there recently. Well, it's a construction site now. DeBoer is 0-1 at construction sites so far at Alabama because Vandy last year got him. So he's looking to avoid going 0-2 at construction sites. I had someone ask me with a dead serious face this morning on a certain network program, should Alabama be on upset alert here? You're looking at the bottom of the screen. That number says -3.5, not -33.5, -3.5. It, not only are they on upset alert, it's not an upset, ladies and gentlemen, if Missouri just, you know, has the audacity to win a game at home here. They're a pretty good team. I think my questions all week, I want to get your, you know, get your read on this. My questions all week have been more along the lines of what's the scalability of these different stat profiles for them once they play really, really legitimate competition? Because other than that, I mean, they've been really good running the ball. I think for all of the hype that Mekhi Hughes got when he went to Oregon, Ahmad Hardy should have gotten the hype and now is getting the hype for having gone to Missouri. But when we broke the game down Tuesday, the more you look at it, the more you realize, dude, the stuff that you would normally fear if you're Bama going to Georgia, their defensive front getting after you and you not having enough time to throw and get behind the eight ball early, that's actually should be your biggest fear on the road at Missouri because they're more likely to do that to you and put you in a blender than Georgia. Now, I think the common fan has to see that to believe it because Georgia's Georgia, Missouri's just Missouri. And so, hey, really quick timeout. We'll get right back to the video. Doing kind of here by the slimmest of margins, but if we were on a debate stage and it was my job to make a case for Missouri, I could really, really easily talk myself into a Missouri win here, and I could talk myself into seeing this game script, especially if Missouri starts hot, taking on the same kind of feel as Alabama FSU did, where you're just in catch-up mode all day. And so all this goodwill and these good vibes you got about Jam Miller running the ball better and, oh, man, we're not penalized as much anymore. It is such a thin ice with hot blades situation with that because it relies on everything to keep going right and execution to keep being almost flawless. And the moment it doesn't, the moment the crowbar gets thrown in the spokes a little bit, I'm interested to see how Alabama responds.
Well, some of those things that you mentioned in the past, be it Alabama or Georgia, I think they're probably the only two teams in our lifetimes that we can use these examples for. It was overwhelming blunt force trauma. And there was just nothing you could do about it. And that I don't think that exists really with any team in college football right now. Ohio State's offensive line is probably the close I've seen to it of just being able to do things to you that you cannot have an answer for unless you can physically match up to it. There's not a number of bodies. There's not a scheme. It's just at the end of the day, we're going to put you on your backside and there's not a lot that you're going to do about it. And you're going to like it by the time we get to the fourth quarter. That's not this Alabama football team. Georgia not going to be that way this year either. So I don't think Missouri having to fear that is going to have to go in some shell of themselves and not be able to run their offense or run their defense and not have a chance to win this football game. I'm with you. I could sit here and convince myself and you that Missouri is going to win. I think there's a really good chance Missouri wins this football game. I go back to last week and you kind of started to hint around something that I think we are really falling for in college football, specifically in the SEC this year. Scores, final scores, are not indicative of how these games have gone. You look at Ole Miss at LSU. You look at Alabama Vanderbilt. We walked away from that thinking that was a dominant win by Alabama. That was two plays away from going the opposite direction. And I think Alabama's going to need similar plays, whether it's Justin Jefferson punching a ball out at the 10-yard line going in, which would have put you down two scores going into the half with Vanderbilt receiving the kick, or if it's Damani Jackson working through a tight end who was kind of pulling around to be able to make a stop on fourth and short to be able to flip the ball back to them and not give Vanderbilt a chance to go down and make that a game late. Those are the kind of plays that Alabama's going to have to come up with, and not just on defense because they've made those plays recently on offense as well, be it Jam Miller, Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard. Cuevas has been excellent at tight end. But Missouri will match Alabama physically in this game. And the stretch play is a booger bear. That thing is hell on wheels to defend. And Kirby Moore is going to give you every formation, every motion, every splitter. everything that you can possibly imagine coming with it. The eyes of the Alabama defense decide this game, because I think Bo Prabula at times moves the football. I think Missouri gets an explosive play or two, either from he or Ahmad Hardy. I think Alabama gets an explosive play or two in this game because the Missouri defense is very aggressive. I mean, they have a safety, number one, that wants to knock your helmet off every game. Marvin Burks wants to try to ruin you. It's what he does. It's who he is. I absolutely love it. But don't think for a second that this defensive line can't get after you. And Chris McClellan, Zion Young, they understand how the physicality is supposed to work up front in this league. They're not going to get bullied for four quarters by this Alabama offense. So I think explosive plays and a big play or two defensively decide this game. I'm with you. I just think Ty Simpson's playing at such a high level right now. He finds a way to get this one done. But there's no way that I'll hop on my flight out of New Orleans to Charlotte on Sunday morning and be extremely surprised if Missouri were to find a way to get this one.
Last few minutes here, I tried and tried and tried to find a path to talk myself into Auburn getting the job done.
All right, so there you have it. That was Cole Kubrick joining Josh Pate right there and giving his thoughts on this matchup. Now, obviously, that's a pretty scary freeze frame right there. They both look like, I don't know, their eyes are closed. Anyway, I'll say this. So I'm with Cole in terms of kind of how he's breaking a lot of this stuff down, but I will say that when you talk about the scores not really being indicative of how things go, I mean, I definitely agree to an extent, and we mentioned that, right? I mean, you watch the Vanderbilt game, you know, 30-14, it looks one way, but the game was definitely a close game. And even like you talk about the dominance on defense for three quarters, that's definitely true, there still was just some key plays in that game that really were pivotal and could have made things go a whole different way, right? And I think that's why they have the sense that that could be a similar theme in this game, right? I mean, you look at literally, look at Missouri, right? I mean, if they pop some explosives, right? And even the way I look at it is, I'm like, man, if they start having success running the ball, not only is that a problem, you know, for our defense, but even our offense. Like, one way to slow down an explosive offense is to keep them off the field. So it can go a number of ways, but I respect their opinions. I know that some people think Cole is a barner. I would say this. I don't think Cole is biased. I think he actually is probably one of the most neutral guys. And even for him being an Auburn guy, I feel like he shows Bama a good bit of love. And it's funny, somebody mentioned Pate talking so much. I didn't really think about it until I just was listening after I read that comment. I was like, damn, he really was kind of, what'd they say? He called him a chatty patty. I've never heard that term. Let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll respond a little bit more to what they had to say. We'll go back in. I'm running the tape all day today anyway, so we're not worried about freeze frame and all that. We're going to look at some plays, watch Missouri play South Carolina, and we'll point some stuff out from that game. Because to me, I know Kansas might be the better opponent that they've faced. South Carolina is an SEC team. They got good players. I made a mistake earlier. I said Lenore Sellers going out with injury. I was thinking of the Vanderbilt game against South Carolina. He played this whole game. And so we'll continue watching that, talking about this matchup right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.
Ends it up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 77. Clear and very comfortable tonight, the low 56. Tomorrow and Sunday, a good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow is 79, the high Sunday at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
America's Arch Support Experts. We're taking the what do you call it, the reins off, man, in the, on the YouTube stream. We're letting it roll. We're letting the tape roll, man. And y'all can thank Superfly, Justin, and Phil, man. They said, hey, man, we'll cover the tab for the monetization coming off, and we're just watching. So we're watching tape over on the YouTube stream, so I'll do a good job of really trying to break stuff down. But so far, again, we're watching Missouri take on This is from the South Carolina game, and it really is. I know they're joking about the construction zone thing. Hopefully that's just a silly stat that doesn't come to fruition, but you're right. Reed, I'm sure you can see the screen here, man. They got a lot of construction going on. Are you familiar with what they're doing to that stadium by chance or no?
Not at all. This is actually coming to a surprise to me, but I mean, it looks like they, whatever they're doing, they are like full out. Like they, it looks like it's off season almost.
Yeah, I know. I was really shocked when I first saw the tape. I was like, dang, like, I feel like Vanderbilt was under construction, but you're right. I mean, that looks like it's in like early stages, but I don't know, man. They definitely are doing some. But other things that we pointed out during the break, just some notes on some of their personnel. Tight end, right? He's a good player. Definitely got to count for him. I thought we did a good job last week with Vanderbilt's tight end. Going into that game was their top target. And I'm just going to be completely transparent with you. I was curious to see how that was going to look. In terms of us matching up on him, but he definitely got his targets, but he wasn't even the top target from last week. He ended up being one of the receivers. So I thought we did a pretty good job, but it'll be important in this game as well. We all always talk about it. You guys have heard my dad say it. Tight ends are like a quarterback's best friend. Hell, Ty even just said it when he was talking about Quavis. Like, they're like a security blanket. So, you know, and Missouri having a good tight end, that's definitely something to consider. But what really has stood out to me so far from where we're at watching this tape, again, left tackle, right? As an edge guy, we always used to look for the fish amongst the offensive line. We always used to look for the weak links. And we would literally install game plan trying to attack those weaknesses, right? So if the left tackle was bad, we might put in some load fronts, right, to that side, our defensive right, trying to really stress that guy, right? Or try to get matchups, make sure our speed rushers are on that side. Like this guy, their left tackle struggles with speed. You heard it here first. I would not be shocked if Yonze has, you know, some big plays rushing off that right side, our defensive right, from their left tackle. Now, they've shown that they'll keep their backs in the chip to help him out because he obviously is a liability. But if Yonze does get some one-on-ones, man, he's definitely the type of guy that could really put some stress on that guy, and I think that could be important. Now, obviously, you got to earn the right to rush. We got to stop the run first. But I would be on the lookout for that during this game. You guys want to look out for a matchup. Watch your left tackle and see how he does against our edge guys. I'm trying to think of what else that we've seen so far. Obviously, the backs' abilities, right? We've seen it in some clips, and you'll see it more as we continue, you know, through the tape. I mean, again, I mean, you hear the stats, but I just wanted you guys to make sure you actually are seeing what we're talking about. Like, I'm not just saying, oh, they got one of the top backs in the country. Oh, well, he rushes for this. I want you guys to see with your own eyes. I mean, it's not like, oh, he's just cutting and running and he's breaking off a 30, 40-yard run. I mean, a lot of the times, this guy's, I mean, talking about yards after contact, man. Bouncing off of defenders like that one run, Sean Murphy, former Alabama linebacker. I mean, you definitely can't arm tackle in this game. Like, one thing as a defense, I mean, I would be putting an emphasis on, like, tackling, man. Fundamental tackling, right? Like, literally wrapping up, driving through contact. These backs, not even just Hardy, but 20 as well, they'll run through arm tackles. They don't just go down off of just hitting the first guy. I mean, so pursuit and fundamental tackling will be huge throughout this game as well. And, yeah, there'll be some more stuff. We'll talk about the offense, but now we got the defense here pulled up in here. Lenoris, man, he made some plays to the air. There's a couple throws he had. One came, I mean, a beautiful shot. He just dropped the ball in the basket. But I think that's, you'll see there are some opportunities in the passing game. And here's a play right here. Guy ends up jumping off sides. They take a shot, right? It's a free play and literally beautiful throw, but ends up being a touchdown for South Carolina. But I think part of it comes, I mean, I think they got good players in the back end, but I think part of it comes from their aggressive nature, right? And as an offense, if they're going to be aggressive, you got to counter and you got to make them pay. And I think we've been doing a nice job of that, picking up the pressure, then obviously working off of it. And I think if we can do that again in this game, like we saw against Georgia, there definitely should be some good opportunities for us offensively. Let's kind of take a break from this, not fully, but let's go to the phone lines. See, we got Tommy lined up. I want to make sure we have plenty of time for two-time Tommy. We'll keep breaking down the tape and talking about this. But Tommy, I haven't heard from you in a minute. How's everything going?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of having a problem with my vocal cords with all the sinus and stuff, so I haven't been able to call.
I'm sounding like you, brother. I'm all
interested.
And, I've got sinus stuff going on too, man.
Yeah, I'm having a terrible year with it. I mean, and my mind's being rather acting up. So it really hasn't affected my sleep. But I'm in listening, but I just haven't been following it.
I understand, man. No worries, man. Well, hope you get to feeling better soon, man. How you feeling about this game, Tommy?
I think we're going to win 38-28. I mean, whatever mind is saying, Alabama don't have a chance. That's where I go with Alabama. So, y'all in the national media, he's probably talking bad about Alabama. Hey, Alabama sucks, man. They don't deserve to be on the field with Missouri. Get his bone spraying the manure. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, this thing got a lot to do. Yeah. Oh,
I mean. Yeah, I feel like people. I wouldn't say they're going against Alabama. I think we just got to remember. Sometimes I think we take stuff personal. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you're going on the road and you're facing a ranked opponent in their stadium and they're playing some good football, I might not have played too many people just yet, but they're doing some good stuff. Plus, I think we haven't said this enough. I mean, it was mentioned earlier in the week. I feel like, but they're coming off a bye week. You know, so, I mean, they've had plenty of time to prepare, right? They've had plenty of time to self-assess, but also watch us. Trust me, they're going to go watch the Florida State game, the Georgia game, the Vanderbilt game, Wisconsin game, and they're going to throw their best shot at us. So I think when you factor all that in there, it makes sense why people still, again, most people I see are picking Alabama. I did see, J.D. Pakel, he picked Missouri, but most people I'm seeing, they're picking Alabama, but they're picking it to be a really close one. And I think it makes sense when you look at all the factors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is SEC. I have seen this as in the fourth state game. Every game for Alabama is a playoff game, and every game is a trap game. And you can say that about anybody in the SEC this year, when you're in and you're out. I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the balance is amazing how close to these teams are. I mean, the people win this game and the team that makes the last mistake. That's football.
That's true. Yeah, no, and I think this is going to be one of those games. I mean, to me, this looks like a game where it comes down to those key plays. And that's why I brought up Vanderbilt, because even though Vanderbilt was, again, outside the first quarter, it felt like a dominant game, right? If you really break it down and look at it, and that's why I'm glad Cole kind of brought it up. It's not to criticize our guys or make it seem like we're ungrateful. No, it's just from a true football perspective, you still can just see and understand, like, while we're doing a lot of things at a high level, and I think we still are on the verge of being one of those top teams, if not already are, there's still some things that you can see and say, all right. And this is natural because, I mean, especially in today's age, you don't expect to just go dominate everybody. But you're like, all right, look at for the Vanderbilt game, for example. Like, you know, luckily we got things reeled back in. But really, if that fumble didn't happen from Justin Jefferson, things could have been a little bit different. Even the two-minute drill, right? Think about this. I mean, the fact that – and we've been really good in that the inside eight, right, but which is good, but – the middle eight. But that two-minute drill – I mean, luckily we're really good right there, but just say we didn't have that, right? Say we didn't put those points there. It would have been 14-7, and I'm pretty sure Vanderbilt started the half with the ball. So it's just one of those things. There's, you know, still some stuff we got to keep working on because, I mean, we're not invincible. And I think once you start playing some of these other teams and, you know, kind of getting that gauntlet of a schedule, man, I mean, it's you got to be able to sustain stuff. And it's just not easy as a player going 4 or 5 straight weeks of tough SEC games, 4 out of 5 being ranked. It's going to be some challenges that come up. That's all I'm pointing out. I'm just pointing out the things to look out for, just knowing, you know, where we're at in college football. But what's your score prediction for me, Tommy?
Alabama 38, Missouri 28.
That's right. You told me earlier, 38-28. All right. I got you written down. 10-point victory in Columbia, Missouri, man. I like it. I'll take it. Tommy, we appreciate you, man. You rest up this weekend, and we'll talk soon, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. All right, we're going to hit a timeout. come back. We keep on rolling again. We got the tape pulled up, so we're going to keep breaking this down right here on the stream at Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Bama Football is presented by
Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
DCH Regional Medical Center.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Two Dimes.
Taco Casa.
Mercedes-04. That's 800-274-5104. What do you have to lose? Call 800-274-5104. Again, 800-274-5104.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free, right? We just got freed again. Free the Miller's Edge. We got locked up on YouTube twice, right? Free the Miller's Edge Friday. That's what we're going to start calling this. So real quick, I guess just refresher for those on radio, which y'all had no effect on this. It doesn't affect you guys whatsoever. But we were streaming, you know, some tape, right? Breaking it down over on the YouTube stream. And normally I pause, I skip ahead, I like speed it up. And I don't even mess with the monetization. That's why I do that, because I can get away with both. But I was like, you know what, man? Like, dude, we'll just let the whole thing play. And we had several of our listeners, shout out to Superfly, shout out to Phil, shout out to Justin. They were supporting. And they dropped some super chats. I was like, all right, we just let the whole thing play. I turned off monetization. I literally went on our channel and I turned it off. That way we weren't monetizing at all. Because I figured, I was like, it might be a problem if monetization's still on there and if I wait to do it later. So I turned it off and I was hoping that it was going to at least take that part away. But I guess they didn't even want that. So what I'll do is this weekend, I'll definitely anticipate trying to find a way to get the All 22 here, right? Like, I can get my hands on it like on a personal level, but I need to get it to where I can stream it. We'll figure that part out. But that I promise we'll figure that out. Anyway, that being said, let's get back on schedule. So we are back, but I don't want to risk losing the show right now, especially on our platform that you guys like here. But I did realize I went, because we'd also stream live on Facebook on the Tide 100.9 page. It still was on there. So the good news is, I think if that ever happens, head on over to facebook.com, and I believe it should just be / Tide 100.9. I'm sure all of you guys already follow it, but the Tide 100.9 Facebook page, just go ahead and follow that if you haven't already, because we also stream live simultaneously over there. So if anything happens on this end, we can always go over there, and maybe I'll add some other avenues, like maybe even on X, right? We'll figure all that out. Anyway, we were talking about Alabama, Missouri. We were watching the tape, and I kind of was just giving just some overall keys as we were running through the tape. Because, again, I've been talking about the game, but I wanted you guys to see what I've been seeing, watching. And I think we got in about a quarter and a half. You guys saw some of the major things. You saw 9, 8, and 7, those guys up front, all three of them combined for a sack. You could see, right, the disruptiveness of that front. They're a good group, right? They can work the edges. They got some interior guys that have pass rush ability. 7 on that one play, I mean, he just bullied the guard right back in the quarterback. So our offensive line, they're going to have a good task. You got to see the running backs run the football against SEC competition. Wait, hold on. Now somebody saying Superfly said it's gone again. There's no way. Wow. Well, I'll keep going for our radio listeners and we'll have to figure this part out. But yeah, long story short, we got to see the running backs, right? Their ability to break tackles, their abilities to keep plays going, yards after contact is strong. So obviously there's going to be a lot of issues if we don't go out there and tackle. That's why I brought up fundamental tackling, man. It's going to be huge. Pursuit to the football, right? You can't stand around. You can't sit on blocks saying, oh, we got this guy. That's his gap. He's going to make this play. This is one of those games, man. You have to live by that swarm D mentality, right? I mean, it's got to be all 11 hats to the football in this type of game. If you want to stop this running attack or this rushing attack of Missouri, again, almost 300 yards on average. So my keys, again, defensively, right? Stop the run. First and foremost, I just told you guys how you need to do it, right? Dominant up front, pursuit, all 11 hats to the ball, and fundamental tackling. But why is that important? Not just because they want to do that, but two, we talk about having an explosive offense, our offense, you know, obviously being a threat. A lot of teams, I'm telling you, their game plan against us is going to be they're going to try to hold the football and play keep away from our offense because they know we have abilities to go down the field, put points on. Like, again, just go watch a 2-minute drill against Vanderbilt, right? I mean, when we want to turn it on and we want to get explosive, we've shown that we can do that. And teams don't want offense like that to have the ball so many times. Why? Because that means we can keep putting points on the board, right? That's why, like, the numbers, you got to be careful. Like, we don't have, like, I think 36 points a game is our average, which isn't, like, crazy in terms of putting points up. I mean, it's definitely good. But I would argue that number could definitely probably be higher, right? But we've been very sustainable in terms of the drives that we have. We're not trying to just hit a whole bunch of home runs, which we probably could if we really needed to. That being said, that's why it also is important to stop Missouri's running game, right? Because they're probably going to try to run the ball a whole bunch, control the clock, keep the ball away from our offense. What else? Oh, yeah. If you guys saw their third down stat, I think they are like number one in terms of their third down efficiency, right? We've been doing a much better job this year of getting off the field on third down. That's got to continue. That's going to be important in this game. And I would argue, right, the reason their third down percent is so good, right? Why? They run the football effectively. What happens when you run the football effectively? Well, that means you're good on first and second down. What does that mean? You're going to have a lot better of a chance of completing and converting on third down, right? You get what I'm saying, guys? The numbers all start to correlate if you really think about it. So you got to get off the field on third down. And then last but not least, defensively, my key, got to be able to force some turnovers, especially in a close game like this. You got to steal some possessions. And I think there's going to be that possibility. I was going to get to the thing. I want to say it was the Kansas game. I can't remember what game that I was watching, but I think it was Kansas. But again, they had several fumbles in the game, I believe. I think there was a pick or so. So these guys have shown to have, they've been shown to have issues with ball security. Anytime we used to be in a film room and we ever played an opponent and they showed signs of ball security, that immediately was put up on the screen. And we always were harping on that all week, man. These guys don't hold on to the football. Attack, attack, attack. I think that could come up in this game, especially they want to run it so much. You just got to be smart as a defender. You can't get too, it's almost like on the game, right? I don't know if you guys remember like on Madden, but like if they used to have the feature, if you could like tap X or something to strip the ball out, but then you're risking missing the tackle. In real life, it's similar, right? You got to secure the tackle first and then try to force the ball out. Or just, hey, the peanut method, right? Just punch it out. Or like Justin Jefferson did. I mean, that was clinic, right? He secured the tackle, but as he's going down, he's ripping at the football. That's how you do it, man. But I think there could be some opportunities there as well. How about this? Let's go ahead and get a time out in real quick, because when we come back, we'll put a bow on everything. We'll get those predictions. We'll wrap everything up. I'll get my offensive keys for this game, and then we'll get out of here, make room for Wyatt. Sorry, this has been a very eventful day, right? First started off sick, congested. We're trying to figure things out. We get rolling. We got a groove going. We're breaking the tape down. Boom. We get struck down. Free the Miller's Edge. They freed us. And then they locked us back up and they freed us. And here we are. So we're going to take a quick time out. We come back. We wrap things up right here on this Free the Miller's Edge Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. That made no sense. Get a break, Chase. Thank you.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Don't let high prices for electrical work scare you. Call or text us at Taylor Electrical, 205-553-0958.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best.
Call 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high 77. Clear and very comfortable tonight, the low 56. Tomorrow and Sunday, a good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow is 79, the high Sunday at 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, the Free the Miller's Edge edition of the Miller's Edge. Again, we're back. We're good on YouTube right now. I have a feeling we're going to get a notification saying we've got a copyright strike. The good news is we've never had that before. Bad news is, I think if you get a couple of them, they like take the channel down. So that being said, we definitely will probably tread a little bit more lightly with some of that stuff. But it really was because we were just letting it play. I think if I go back to doing what I was doing for now until we get the all 22, kind of just chopping it up, clicking and pausing and starting. I know it's annoying. I'm sure you guys did mine. I just hated it because I know it wasn't as good as it could be. We'll figure that part out. But anyway, we're good to go. I'm just trying to get these last score predictions written down real quick. And I think I've got about all of them for now. If I missed one, I should be able to go back. But all right, that being said, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Offensively, what do we need to do in this game to have success against the Missouri Tigers? Well, first and foremost, I do believe it's going to be one of those games where I keep saying this. Offensive line has got to step up. Why is that? I think we got the biggest challenge yet for offensive line. I think this front that Missouri has is, you know, a really good front in what they do, right? We'll see how good they are when they play us, but they do a nice job stopping the run. They do a nice job getting after the quarterback. Both edge guys are two of the top edge guys in the conference in terms of their pressure rate. So they're going to try to put pressure on Ty Simpson. I think that's going to be their game plan, right? I fully believe that they're going to have to take an aggressive approach. And if we're being honest, I mean, that's really about all you can do as a defense. At this point, we've seen teams like Vanderbilt try to play soft, play off the ball, and what happens? Ty just picks them apart in zone. We've seen them try to be aggressive. We do a good job picking the blitz up front with our backs, our tight ends, and we still have success. But I would argue, though, I mean, if you still had to pick one or two of them, I would probably take the aggressive approach, and that's how Missouri likes to play. So that will be important for us offensively. I think protecting the football obviously is going to be a big one. Playing disciplined football, we know all those things. But I think continuing to build off of our running game will be huge, right? You never want to be one-dimensional. And I think the fact that we were able to have such success last week running the football, that should be a big sign of encouragement. And I hope we're able to build off of that, because I think that will be huge for our offense in this game. And to be honest with you, I mean, I feel like we've addressed a lot of the main, I guess, team keys. But in terms of showing up, being disciplined, handling the environment, you know what I mean? I think getting to a fast start would be important as well. But I think we've done a really nice job of a lot of that stuff. I mean, look at the penalties this year. We haven't had a whole bunch of it, even when we've had hostile environments. So biggest thing is continuing to do all of that, man. And I think we definitely get away with a win. The reason I say get away, I do believe this ends up being a close game. I'm going 28-24. Alabama wins, obviously, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup. I think it could be probably, look, I know Georgia definitely was, I would put this pretty damn close to that Georgia game, right? And there's some aspects where I think there's going to be more challenges with this Missouri group than we even saw against Georgia. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be another good test for us. And then obviously we got, you guys know what's coming up next after, right? You got the third weekend in October, the Volunteers coming into Tuscaloosa. So we're kind of in the thick of this stretch. Obviously, this is just the next step, but it's a big step. And I'm looking forward to it, as I'm sure all of you guys are as well. Chase, give us your prediction before we get out of here, man.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Tide here. I think it depends on how much Ty wants to go with this Ty Simpson. I think he'll do great, especially with the question marks around the defensive end for Missouri. I feel like they haven't faced an O-line like Alabama yet. But my score prediction, Christian, I'm going to have Bama 34, Missouri 21.
What was that first number?
34.
So you went 34-21.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, man. I love the confidence. I feel like, dang. A lot of people feeling, I mean, two-score games. I mean, I'll be honest. Most of the things I've written down, if not all of them, are two scores except maybe one. So you guys obviously have a lot of confidence in this matchup, man. But the good news is we don't have too much time to wait. 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow for Alabama, Missouri. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking with you guys again on Monday with some good news. Again, you guys can always check me out tomorrow. I host the post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network alongside Gray Robertson. So if you guys want to hear my post-game thoughts on the action, make sure you guys tune into that. We do it every week, and it's always a good time, so make sure you guys don't miss out on that. If you want to hear me before Monday, where we will see you guys here, we're on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Big shout-out to Chase and Reed behind the glass. Big shout-out to all of you guys, Superfly, Justin, and Phil. Big thanks for the super chats today, man. You guys are awesome. Definitely appreciate that big time. And all of our listeners, Tide 100.9 on Facebook, all that good stuff, man. You guys make this whole thing possible. So we definitely appreciate all of you and all of your support. I hope you guys have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and look forward to seeing you right here Monday, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.